Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
During the season of Advent, we've been talking about how people that engaged in Christmas, that made Christmas come alive, had their lives interrupted. How Christmas wasn't like just a gift under the tree. You could take it or leave it. It was presented, and it changed the course of their lives. We talked about how Mary and Joseph were betrothed, and yet this new pregnancy would change their lives forever, put them on a different path, and revealed new things. We talked about the shepherds who stood out in the middle of a field, doing what they've always done day after day, week after week, year after year, going through the rituals of life, and all of a sudden, God broke in and said, I want to tell you something that's happening in Bethlehem. We talked about the Magi, who were in the east, who were studying the stars when they found something that seemed a bit peculiar, and they began to follow it to see where it would lead. And eventually it led to Jerusalem and from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. But sometimes when we come to Christmas, because Christmas is the way that it is, we have shaped it the way it is, it has become a holiday that has become just a time on the map. Instead of a day that was meant to change the course of our lives. And I wonder this morning as we sit and we think about everything that happened, how Christmas has changed your life. You see, I said this last year, and I think about it this year as well. I think today, this Sunday, is the most important Sunday of the calendar year. I really do. I know that sometimes people will say, theologically, you might say Christmas or Easter. But I think as for us as a church folk, today is the most significant, most telling, and if you will, most damning Sunday of all. Let me see if I can share that with you. If you think about Advent, think about what happens. Christmas begins almost in October nowadays. You know, all of the decorations begin going, and you begin building momentum, right? And finally we hit Advent, and you begin decorating the sanctuary, and we begin lighting our Advent wreath, and there's this preparation, and we're building momentum, and energy is building, for Christmas is coming, and it's going to come, and it comes, and finally on Christmas Eve, it reaches a crescendo that you can feel. Christmas Eve, our sanctuary, our church, it's estimated we had almost 330 people come through our sanctuary to worship and to give thanks to God on Christmas Eve. It had built to a crescendo. And the party was about to take place, the celebration of Christmas. But Christmas was meant to do more. Christmas came in order to change our lives. And so on the Sunday after Christmas, the first Sunday after Christmas, is telling because it said, what did it all mean to you? Was it all about the party? Was it all about the pageantry? But once the pageantry is gone, our faith seems to fade away. Maybe you got up this morning and it was a little drizzly and certainly it was rainy out and you just kind of said, you know what? I'm just not feeling it today. If that's how you felt, or now obviously you didn't because you're here and you stayed home, maybe Christmas didn't really come to you this year. And so I wanted to ask us this morning as we begin a new year. We've kind of gone through Christmas and God has interrupted our lives and said, I want more for you. The question is where do we go from here? I want you to think about a story about Mary and Joseph, where we are in that story. And I know historically there are some problems with the historicity of the magi being at the stable at the same time, and I don't want to get into all of that. I want you to imagine for a moment where Mary and Joseph are emotionally and mentally. They've traveled a long way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and Mary gives birth because there's no room for them at the inn, so she gives birth in a stable. And while she wraps the baby and puts it in a manger, all of a sudden, who shows up but a couple of shepherds? And the shepherds tell Mary and Joseph that they have had a revelation, that angels from heaven have come, and they have proclaimed that this child is going to be king, and people are going to be blessed through this child. Well, that's got to make you feel pretty good. And as soon as the shepherds kind of fade to the background, as they are trying to drink this all in, who shows up but three magi, three kings from the east, who've traveled hundreds of miles to come and see your newborn baby. And they open up their packs, and there they have these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they present them with these gifts. And I can imagine if you're kind of thinking, if I were in that position, I might think, you know, this king thing isn't so bad. This could turn out to be a pretty good deal. And sometimes I think we fall into that trap as well. We come as Christmas people and we say, shouldn't life be really easy for us? Isn't that what it's really all about? But as soon as they all kind of fade into the background, as soon as the Magi story is over, a different journey begins for Mary and Joseph, and it's one that isn't easy. It's one that is often challenging and difficult and often chaotic. As we begin our new year, as you think about your journey with God, as your Christmas spirit begins to well up, think about how is your experience of Christ and faith and your journey, how does that combine with what Mary and Joseph experienced with this new gift? You see, Christmas comes and it presents us with new challenges, new problems that we have to begin to wrestle with, difficulties about who we are and who God is. It isn't always as easy and as convenient and comfortable as we would like it to be. So I want you to think about that as we open up the Word today and looking for the next part of the Christmas story that comes in Matthew chapter 2. Would you join with me as we center our lives on what God has put into His Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from Matthew chapter 2. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all of the boys in Egypt, all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. May it challenge us and convict us, but also inspire us and motivate us to follow you more closely in our day-to-day walk. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting to follow the story of Mary and Joseph and to think about what was going through their mind. They have been given confirmation that the child that Mary is carrying is special significance to God, that the Holy Spirit is moving upon her. And yet you kind of get this sense at this part of Matthew that Matthew jumps in and says, as soon as the Magi have left, they have to get up and flee. They are on the run. Instead of returning to their homeland, to the people that they knew, to their family and friends, to their support network, they're asked to flee to a new land. People with a different language, a different culture, something that they've never known before, not only because this is what God is asking, but because they're being hunted. And I wonder what goes through their minds. I didn't sign up for this. You see, Christmas presents us with new problems and new challenges. If we're come to celebrate the birth of Christ, then the question is, are we willing to follow that child no matter where that path leads? Mary and Joseph are called out of their convenience and their support network and asked by God, or commanded, to follow into Egypt in order to avoid other things that are happening in their life. You see, sometimes when God invites you to do things that seem difficult, seem out of the ordinary, it's because there's something, some greater problem that is God is trying to move you away from. Mary and Joseph couldn't have known, how long will we be in Egypt? Will we ever return? But they knew that they had to trust God, and they had given God everything. And so this Christmas, as we kind of reflect on everything that happened, we've celebrated the coming of Christ, the miracle that Christ has come among us. But have we left it at Bethlehem, or are we willing to take that journey no matter where it goes and where it leads? I think sometimes the difficulty for Mary and Joseph and for all of us are the challenges that come with trying to follow God in our day-to-day life. Whenever we follow the path of God, the challenge of God, we find that there's a sense of confusion. Did God really mean we seem to be heading in the wrong direction? I thought we were supposed to head back towards Nazareth, certainly to live in Judea or in Israel. And yet they're fleeing from their homeland where they expected to be. Have you ever felt a sense of confusion? Like you're moving away from where you thought you wanted to be, where you thought you ought to be? Have you ever felt challenged that God is asking more than what you had signed up for? I wonder if there was a time in this wrestling that Joseph ever got and said, God, I've had enough. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't want this. I'm not going any step further. But God is guiding Joseph to a better life than he fully understands. Have you ever been challenged to step out of your comfort zone? That maybe if you've been invited to be a part of a ministry or been part of some function in your community where you could make a real difference, you said, I didn't sign up for that. It's too challenging for me. See, I think the two things that God struggles with in us is our tendency to want to be in a place of convenience and comfort, to be kind of protected in our own little comfort zone. And yet God is calling us out into new challenges and new areas. And above all, God wants to change our lives. God wants to make us aware of the new possibilities. You see, following Christ and being a Christian in this season of Christmas isn't about just the party that goes on Christmas Day. It's about taking the entire journey all the way to Jerusalem. The reason I think this is so significant, this Sunday is so significant, is because we as a culture will always turn out for the party. But it's who will clean up afterwards, who takes the journey with God after the party is over. We'll show up for Christmas and for the celebration, but it's the day-to-day working out of what that means that only Mary and Joseph knew for sure. So as we look to a brand new year, as we begin to dream about what's coming ahead, I want us to think about trying to get out, how do we get out of those old, tired habits of just kind of going through the motions, of showing up every Sunday, of putting another Advent on the calendar, but making a year where it makes a real, lasting, and significant difference. Where the coming of the Christ child into your life means that you are going to experience some confusion and some challenges. But let those confusion and challenges give you new insights, new opportunities, new ways of seeing yourself and the strength that God has for you. The question is, are you willing to take that journey? Are you willing to break through to a whole new year? I want to try and give you a couple of things that I think really helped Mary and Joseph. Allowed them to embrace where God was moving them. And I think it can help us as well. The first thing that they had that I think we need to have as a community if we're going to get anywhere is a sense of inspiration. Mary had deep in her heart a message from God, a calling from God. It's a sense of what in her spirit elevates and inspires her. She knew that God had a plan for her life. So often we just kind of go through the motions and say, but I don't think God could use somebody like me. How are we able to dream and to imagine that if God really was going to use you this year, if he was going to change your life this year, what areas would he tackle first? Maybe it's getting involved in some cause that you feel passionate about. Something that you'd love to see your church involved with, but it needs some leadership in that area. That you want to jump in and say, I could make a real lasting difference. It inspires me, and I'm living out my passion, my imagination, not just what happened in the past. Not just the tired old routines, but the ability to dream big dreams. Mary and Joseph knew from a calling from God that God was moving in their life, and they were inspired to follow wherever that led. What inspires your life? What is it about your faith and your journey that lifts you up and gets you passionate in the morning? The second thing that happened with Mary and Joseph is they had the discipline. They knew that there were certain things in their life that they didn't understand, that they couldn't understand at that moment. But for both Mary and Joseph, once they had that inspiration, they were all in. Mary had, when she had her conversation with the angel, at the very end, she said, "Let it be to me as you have said, I'm yours." She made a commitment, and that meant not turning back. The willingness to follow through. Any great breakthrough in your life is going to hit resistance. Otherwise, it's not really a breakthrough. The ability to commit to it and continue to hammer away at it until it changes in a substantial way. Discipline is choosing between what you want right now, what is easy and what is convenient, and what will be most beneficial then. Anything that you want, anything that is lasting and significant in your life requires discipline. It requires a level of commitment. And I hope that you'll remember, there's a little phrase in your sermon notes, and it says, you will either suffer the pains of discipline, pushing through, or you'll suffer the pains of regret. There'll come a point in your life where you'll look back and say, I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have had the strength to follow through with that. I wanted to do that, I just couldn't. I've had people come and say, I wish I could have read through the Bible this year, understood that whole book. It starts with a single step. At some point, you've got to commit to push through it. Mary and Joseph knew that it was going to be a struggle. That may have meant Egypt for them, for a time, for a season. But God was with them and guiding them, and they knew, and that was strength enough. Do you have that resolve in your own life to push through when it seems difficult? Or once the party is over, you just go home? This Sunday is a season that is very telling about what is important in our faith. They had inspiration. They knew what their life was about. They knew what their calling was. They had the discipline to see it through. But all of that is just a mental game until you actually engage. You actually do something. You actually take a step. And all of us can take one little step. If you're not sure what your ministry area is, give us a call and say, can you help me find where I can grow spiritually, where I can develop? You can do one little thing, one little step. But it's that moment of taking one step that leads to another step and another. Until you engage, it all becomes a mental game. When you put that foot forward, it begins a momentum and it begins to change. Now here's the danger. Here's what's working against you. Here's the process that is always working against you. It's called the principle or the power of inertia. Have you heard of inertia? Do you know what inertia is? It's a physics term. And simply stated, inertia means a body at rest tends to stay at rest. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. So you have to ask yourself, I tend to be at rest. It's going to require more energy to get you moving. But once you get moving, it's easier to keep moving. If you're at rest, you'll want to tend to stay with convenience, easy answers, and your comfort. If you take that moment and you get things moving, it will reveal more, and that will reveal more. And pretty soon you're growing in new areas, and new things are happening, and there's a passion that begins to develop, and you find yourself moving along the path, and there's more energy. The principle of inertia, of spiritual inertia, is prevalent in our time. Why do you think that there are a smaller community on Sunday morning instead of on Christmas Eve? I love this quote. It says, you don't have to get it right. You just have to get it going. You don't always have to know exactly what the perfect answer is, what the exact right thing to do all the time. You just have to begin the process, the motion of getting your body and your spirit awake. When that happens, when you have an inspiration, when you have some energy, when you have the discipline to see it through and to follow through, and then you have the engagement to actually put it into practice, your whole year will be different. Your whole outlook will be completely alive. And so the challenge that I want to ask you this morning is in understanding, where do we go from here? Will 2014 be just a mirror reflection of 2013? Or are you going to be proactive and make choices, decisions, find inspiration, make it the best breakout year for you ever? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day, for your spirit that continues to inspire and motivate us, and we pray, O God, that in our time together, that you will continue to awaken us to the endless possibilities that lie before us. In Jesus' name, amen.